For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we are back, and we're going to do, because we're getting so much good feedback from Fed Up, and from now on, Fed Up's going to be a regular part of this program. We're going to, because that's just the way we all feel. And then we have a clip from the Epoch Times that you want to concerning the legitimate president of the United States of America, showing you how we have two different tiers of so-called justice in this land. So go ahead and take her away, Josh.
We're fed up with the Green New Deal and the socialists who created it. We're fed up with the attacks on our fossil fuel and energy industries. We're fed up with an open border. We're fed up with human trafficking. We're fed up with fentanyl flooding our country. And we're fed up with illegal immigration. We're fed up with critical race theory. We're fed up with boys competing in girls' sports. We're fed up with radical. We're fed up with the liberal media, Twitter, Facebook, Google, and YouTube for blocking conservative speech. We're fed up with our government and universities censoring conservative thought, canceling debate, and rewriting history. We're fed up with the corruption in the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, the CIA, the NSA, and the police corps. We're fed up with mask mandates, vaccine mandates, the CDC, the NIH, the WHO, and the misinformation campaign surrounding COVID-19. And we're fed up with Anthony Fauci. We're fed up with the politicians and the elitists in D.C. who are getting rich while the middle class falls further behind every year. We're fed up with Joe Biden, with Nancy Pelosi. We're fed up with the January 6th Commission and those people who think that they can gaslight us. And we're fed up with Liz Cheney. November 8th, we're taking our country back.
All right, very good. And folks, Angel was in New Jersey, not New York. Thank you, Angel. And Jane in Georgia gives a pledge of 60. Thank you, Jane in Georgia. John, we're going to play a clip here, but just before we do that, I wanted to, you know, Putin is preparing Russians for World War III. You know what's been taking place in the past couple of weeks in Russia, don't you?
Yes, Pastor Ernie. They have, they have cities under cities for protection and for nuclear war, and they've activated all those civil defense sites now, and they've been having drills going into these sites for protection.
Okay, do you remember Stanislav Leonov? He was the highest-ranking defector at that time from the Soviet Union. I spent a week with him, and he was telling me he was the guy that spent 2 weeks in December of 1969 training Bill Clinton. His job was to teach Bill Clinton how to look you in the eye and tell a lie and believe it. He said it was the easiest job he ever had. He was, yeah, that's what he said. He was the highest ranking defector from the Soviet Union, And he told me that underneath Moscow, there's a city that's much larger than Moscow.
Right. That's exactly what I was saying. Yes.
And he said that if you go down there, you'll see that all of the top generals in Russia, they all have a place there. They all have an apartment. They have food stored up. They have water. They have air circulation units. And they actually, John, he told me that they would meet all the top generals, and they would use Zechariah 13 and 14, and Ezekiel 36, 37, 38, and all of the passages in Scripture where it refers to God's people, the Lord Jesus' army fighting against the armies of the world after the tribulation period. And he told me that these generals actually strategized. Listen, John, they actually strategized on how to fight a war against God. And that was the mindset that these people have. That, John, is becoming the mindset. Remember what happened when you and I got into it with the War College and the Pentagon?
Oh, yeah, that was the War College out in Leavenworth, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah.
The Special War College. And they were writing papers about trying to say that Christians wanted to start Armageddon to get the American army to fight Armageddon.
And they said since...
And I caught them at it, and I remember I contacted you, and you contacted them and verified everything that they were doing.
And they were saying that because our allegiance was to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord of Lords and the armies of heaven, that our allegiance were not to NATO or the armies of the world here. Therefore, what they wrote, the Christians should not serve in our military. Christians should not be.
Yes, that we're dangerous. And they wanted the Pentagon to be made aware of this.
And what was their opinion? Because, you know, and this is what we've been preaching over the years. The pastors have not showed a lot of mettle, have they? They haven't really showed a lot of intestinal fortitude, have they?
Pastor Ernie, I called the heads of the Assemblies of God. I spoke to them, explained this, what they were doing. They said that they had a very good relationship with chaplains in the military, and they didn't want to rock the boat, so they weren't going to do anything. So I called the Southern Baptist, and I spoke to the, at that time, I guess, I think it was the number two man in the Southern Baptist, and he said exactly what the Assemblies of God said. So both of them, you know, didn't care about the element within the U.S. military trying to make us out as saboteurs and trying to start World War III, use the military. And that was coming from their war college, Pastor Ernie.
I know. It's amazing. John, if you were the only one, if you come down, I remember what Elijah thought. He thought he was the only one. If you come down, if you thought you were the only one to stand with the Lord, would you still stand with the Lord?
Where else would I go, Pastor Ernie? Yeah, of course.
All right. That's the way it's got to be, isn't it? That's the way it's got to be. And it's an amazing thing. But it looks like, for at least for now, the pastors in Ohio are starting to awaken. And I've gone by a number of churches, and I've seen the vote no signs out in front of the churches. And we're doing the best we can to get the people in Ohio to understand just how degenerate. And if they understood the people that were behind this vote yes thing on the amendment, any decent person, no decent person would vote for that. No decent person would vote for that. All right. Deacon Mark in Ohio pledges 100. Thank you, Deacon March. Deacon Mark. Okay. 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Phone lines are open. We really need to hear from you. We really do. We only have, right now, approximately 50 minutes left. We'll be here till midnight. And we'll be right here till midnight. We can take your calls right up to midnight. And then, Lord's willing, we'll have enough to make our goal tonight so we can stay on. That come Monday, we'll still be on that same station you're listening to us on right tonight. Okay, so now we're going to be playing a clip here. This has got to do with, this is from the Epoch Times and Roman, and I never could pronounce his last name, Baldenhall or whatever. But go ahead, Josh.
Now, diving into the main topic, the federal judge who is overseeing President Trump's classified documents case, she has just issued a major rejection to Mr. Jack Smith, the prosecutor who is pushing the case forward. Because, you see, Mr. Jack Smith and his team, they were making the attempt to set up a separate private facility over in Washington, D.C., such that President Trump and his legal team would have to go all the way to Washington in order to review the classified documents in the case. And also, somehow, despite the Department of Justice trying to push this case through before the election, well, the number of documents for Trump's legal team to actually review has ballooned to well over a million. Although, to make sense of what's happening here and what this rejection of Jack Smith actually means, I need to back up for a quick moment and set the stage for you properly regarding how we got to this point. And as always, I'll quickly mention that if you appreciate content like this, take a super quick moment to smash those like and subscribe buttons so this video can reach ever more people via the YouTube algorithm. Now, to start with, this man right here is Mr. Jack Smith, the Justice Department special counsel who is leading the charge in several of the cases against President Trump at the federal level. And while most of the country's attention has been focused on Jack Smith's case related to January 6th, well, it's actually the classified documents case that's playing itself out over in Miami that's been seeing the most amount of action. You see, right now, the classified documents case, it's in the discovery phase. This is where you have both sides, the prosecution as well as the defense, share their documents with one another so that both sides can get their cases all aligned and ready before they actually go to trial. However, unlike a typical normal discovery process where the prosecution would just photocopy the evidence and mail it over to the defense, well, that's not exactly what's happening here. That's because the prosecution, meaning Jack Smith and his team, they made the argument that since this case involves classified documents, they need to set up a private facility for viewing them. The judge in this case, she agreed, and so a private facility was set up over in Florida so that Trump's legal defense team can go to this facility, look at the documents, and prepare their legal defense. That sounds simple enough, except it's not. That's because, for one, the total number of documents in this case, for some odd reason that we'll get to in a moment, well, it has just ballooned to well over a million. And second of all, despite the prosecution's insistence on having this trial start before the election, they have yet to turn over many important documents that Trump's legal team says they need. You heard that right. Despite the fact that this case has been ongoing for well over half a year now, and despite the fact that the prosecution is pushing for a trial date of around May of next year, they have yet to hand over many crucial documents that Trump's legal team says they need to have. In fact, here is what Trump's legal team recently wrote in a filing that they sent to the judge accusing the special counsel's office of not turning over the relevant evidence. Quote, "The special counsel's office has not provided some of the most basic discovery in the case. Given the current schedule, we cannot understate the prejudice to President Trump arising from this lack of access to these critical materials months after they should have been produced. Furthermore, besides not having access to all the relevant documents, Trump's legal team, they also cited, quote, being only able to access the classified documents in the small, temporary Florida location as a barrier for the busy candidate who is splitting his time between campaigning and attending a civil trial in New York where he stands to lose Trump Organization." And just for your reference, as it was alluded to in the statement of theirs, the facility that's been set up over in Florida is indeed a temporary one. The Department of Justice claims that the actual secure facility will not be ready for another 3 months. And so this was the general situation. Trump's legal team, they were arguing that, for one, the Department of Justice has been withholding evidence from them, even though there is a super tight deadline in terms of the trial date. And secondly, the small facility that they set up over in Florida, where the classified files can be viewed, is prohibitive for a man who is currently running for president while also in the midst of several other lawsuits. And as such, Trump's legal team, they asked the judge to push the trial date back. However, the Department of Justice, they pushed back on that. That's because, for one, Jack Smith responded to Trump's team with his own filing, writing that, quote, "There was no credible reason to postpone the case. and that they already had access to considerable amounts of the material.
And then, regarding the second point about how generally inconvenient it is to have to go to a small room somewhere in Florida to view these classified documents, well, Jack Smith, he submitted a request to the judge in order to, quote, set up a private facility in Washington, D.C. to hold the classified documents he is required to turn over to the defendants in discovery, meaning that there would be two separate facilities holding these documents. Now, it's not exactly clear why setting up a facility all the way in Washington, D.C. would be any more convenient to Trump and his legal team, given the fact that they're not actually based out of D.C. And secondly, Trump's lawyers, they argued against this plan by saying that, well, among other reasons, that, quote, the Washington location is also unworkable because documents that need to be reviewed together would then be stored in separate locations, meaning that by having two separate locations, the documents would be split up, which would make it even harder to review them and prepare one single case. And so then an obvious question out of all this arises. If this was such an illogical idea, given the circumstances, why did Jack Smith and his team suggest it? Why did they want to move the facility to Washington, D.C.? Well, one reason might have to do with this woman right here, Judge Eileen Cannon. She is the Florida District Judge overseeing the classified documents case, and for your reference, she was appointed to the bench by President Trump 3 years ago. And unlike the judges over in Washington, D.C., New York, and Georgia, she appears to be more sympathetic to Trump's case. Or, at the very least, she doesn't appear to openly be hostile to President Trump. And while there's no way to actually get inside Jack Smith's head and know what he's actually thinking, it is really worth mentioning that both Jack Smith and his team have been attempting to drag the jurisdiction in this case back to Washington, D.C. for the last several months. For instance, despite this case being tried in the Southern District of Florida, it was recently revealed that, quote, the grand jury convened by Jack Smith and a special counsel team was still meeting in Washington, D.C. even after the case was assigned to Judge Eileen Cannon's court. It is, for your reference, illegal to use a grand jury to produce additional information after a defendant has already been indicted. And so again, it's anyone's guess as to why he's doing it, but there appears to be somewhat of a pattern of Jack Smith and his team attempting to bring the case out of Florida and into Washington, D.C. However, the judge in the case is not having it. She has been rather strict about jurisdiction in this case, and just 3 days ago, Judge Eileen Cannon, she formally rejected Jack Smith's attempt to set up a private facility over in Washington, D.C. In her rather brief order, here was what the judge wrote, quote, the parties are advised that production of classified discovery to the defense counsel is deemed timely upon placement in an accredited facility in the Southern District of Florida, not in another federal district. It is the responsibility of the Office of the Special Counsel to make and carry out arrangements to deposit such discovery to the defense counsel in this district. And so the attempt to set up an office over in D.C. has officially been thwarted. If you'd like to read this full order from the judge for yourself, I'll throw a link to it. It'll be down in the description box below. Regardless, though, there is one other reason that Trump's legal team wants an extension on this trial date, which we'll get into after a quick word from today's sponsor.
Did you know that 91% of all cyber attacks begin with the victim receiving a simple email? And also, did you know that these big tech companies, as well as the governments of many different nations, are spying on your online activity? And so the time to protect yourself is right now. And the best company to use is the sponsor of today's episode, Secure. They have three different solutions for safeguarding your data and all of your online communications. You have Secure Mail, which allows for truly secure communication with anyone you interact with via email. You have Secure Messenger, which guarantees that your chat messages stay private. And then you have Secure VPN, which encrypts all of your internet traffic and it helps to protect your online activity and your digital identity from IP hackers. And the best part is that unlike many of the other companies, Secure has their own proprietary technology and they do all their hosting over in Switzerland, which has some of the strictest data privacy laws in the entire world. Basically, if you want your data to be truly private and safe from both bad actors as well as from governments, although sometimes they're one and the same, you should check out Secure. And best of all, right now they're running a special promo. To our viewers, if you use promo code Roman20, you can save 20% off all their services for the next 5 years. So check them out. The link will be down in the description box below. Use promo code Roman20 to save some money. And let's head on back to the studio.
Now, there is one other reason that Trump's legal team wants an extension on the trial date. That's because, besides the inconvenience of the one facility in Florida that all the classified materials in question have to be viewed, and besides the fact that the Department of Justice has yet to actually produce all the relevant documents, well, there's actually a third point, which has to do with the sheer number of documents that have been handed over by the Department of Justice. That's because while the actual number of alleged classified documents that were in Trump's possession numbered in the dozens, somehow, the number of documents that the DOJ sent to Trump's legal team has ballooned to well over a million. Quote,
The case involves a great number of documents beyond the ones President Trump is accused of unlawfully retaining in his Mar-a-Lago residence. President Trump's legal team had previously noted that they already received 1.28 million pages and did not have sufficient time to properly examine them, requesting an extended timeline. The 1.28 million pages are unclassified documents and would not need to be reviewed in a special location. However, they argued that though the special counsel had said that all discovery documents would be available on day one, they have not turned over all the classified documents and witness statements as of yet. Even documents that President Trump was indicted for having were not completely supplied. And so it appears that while on the one hand, the Department of Justice has withheld a portion of the actual classified documents in question, they have, on the other hand, completely buried Trump's legal team in well over a million pages of other documents. And all the while, they're pushing the case to start ASAP, meaning in just practical terms that Trump's legal team, they don't have the documents they actually need. They're buried under an avalanche of other documents that were sent over to them by the Justice Department, and all the while, they have to prepare for a trial that'll start in just several months, while at the same time dealing with several other lawsuits and a major federal election campaign. That's the situation as it currently stands. If you'd like to go deeper into anything that we discussed in today's episode, I'll throw all of my research notes. They'll be down in the description box below this video for you to peruse at your own leisure. Otherwise, lastly, as I mentioned at the top of the episode as well, if you are indeed sick and tired...
Already, we are back, and Joanna in New Jersey pledges 100. Pastor Hal Larson pledges 100. Joanne in New York pledges 300, and Bruce pledges 50. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673 or 888-281-1110 or 888-281-1110. John, Jack Smith, what is he known for? How many cases has he had dismissed for bringing?
Oh, Pastor Ernie, he's rogue. I mean, he's been rebuked by judges. His cases have been overturned on appeal, not just once, but continually. He is the worst of the worst prosecutors.
Okay, now let me ask you this. If you and I were given a task and we had to go find, we had to go to the prisons and we had to find some inmates that committed crimes that were more corrupt than Merrick Garland, that were even as corrupt as Merrick Garland and as corrupt as Jack Smith, would we have a pretty hard time finding inmates that would fill that?
The only one that's not in jail that's on their level, I think, is Hillary.
Well, that's true. But I mean, yeah. Well, yeah, but she's not in jail. But I mean, Hillary.
Right. But she fits that.
Well, she owns them. Hillary owns them. They're scared to death of Hillary. Wow, Jane in New Jersey pledges 1,500. Thank you, Jane. She matched me. God bless you. Thank you, all of you folks tonight that have been blessing us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, we were looking for that. So we would have, that would be a really hard time. So this is where we're at today in America. And now, What do you have to say to these rhino Republicans that say, we got to move on, forget Trump, we got to move on? What do you have to say to them?
I don't know, Pastor Ernie. I have so many words to say. I mean, how can we move on from a Republican presidential election that was stolen? How do you move on from that, Pastor Ernie?
Well, now, we don't acknowledge at our church, in fact, at a pavilion on my property, I have two great big signs, and the fact is that we acknowledge that President Trump is still the legitimate president of the United States. Joe Biden is not. He's a usurper, not the legitimate president, because we're standing on principle and on the truth. We know that. If, in fact, Trump was the one that they did this to, and that's the reason why, you know, you've got these people saying, we got to move on, and you've got to look at, like, Nikki Haley and all these are saying, Trump's got too much baggage. No, Trump is the one that we voted for. I voted for him. You voted for him, right?
Yes.
And so because of that, they had stole our votes. There's will be no justice, one, until we get Trump back in, two. Every single patriot that was arrested in jail on January 6th, is released from prison, and those people that put them there, that corrupt what they call the panel, those people on that panel, until they take the place of the Christian patriots in that prison, there will be no justice. Now, just a couple weeks ago, Christopher Wray from the FBI was talking about how we Christians, Trump supporters, and this, of course, came from Obama Biden, who is a banana republic president because he's the only one who wanted to go after his competition, and he outright said he would put his competition in jail. This happens. Hey, Obama Biden taking orders directly from Obama has reduced America. Look at our military. We have no emergency oil supply left. He's used it all up. He sold it. And so here it would be an absolute sin to recognize Obama or Joe Obama as legitimate because you know he's not, okay? And these people, so to recognize this corrupt government, would that be an offense against Almighty God?
Oh, yeah. It's an offense in so many ways, Pastor Ernie. To me, it's like cowardness.
It is. And we're not gonna accept it, are we?
No, we're not. We're not gonna accept it, no.
All righty, those phone numbers are 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Folks, one of the things, John, that they're talking about today is the ERA, the era of unquestioned and unchallenged climate change claim is over. Now, just a few weeks ago, the climate change was, forget nuclear war with Russia. Forget nuclear war. The biggest threat to the planet was absolutely climate change, right? But then that changed, and it became us. All of the Trump supporters or the white populist people, white males, we became the biggest threat to the planet now. But here, the era of unquestioned, unchallenged climate change claim is over. The scientists over 1,000 nationally known, and we're talking about meteorologists, we're talking about people that are actually involved with the weather, have come out and said this whole climate change hoax is a hoax. Leading voices in the climate community are in uproar as their warming hypothesis comes under fresh assault by scientific papers. The authors of the papers are being attacked and say that the activist scientists threatened by the new findings are aggressively conducting an orchestrated disinformation campaign. So what is the mainstream media? What do they call disinformation campaigns?
I don't know.
They call it the narrative. The narrative. That's their narrative.
The narrative. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
To discredit the papers and scientific reputation of the real actual authors. Indeed, the top rated authors of scientists in this country where it comes to the climate have all come out. They're all saying, hey, you know, this is a hoax. This whole thing is made up. It's about making money off of solar panels. It's about making money off of electric cars and all of this. Indeed, from insults on social media and furious blog posts to Freedom of Information Act requests demanding emails from a journal editor and federal scientists, the controversy is getting pretty heated. Of course, the climate cult will be dismissive of any information, no matter how scientifically correct, that is, if it's politically incorrect. Well, that's where we're at today. The truth doesn't mean anything. These people can't tell the truth. To them, it's wrong to tell the truth. It's wrong to tell the truth. All right, Carolyn in Ohio pledges 50. Thank you, Carolyn in Ohio. I wonder
The narrative is a lie, Pastor Ernie, so they've got to defend lies, a lie with lies.
Right. So, I mean, that's what they're told. When they're told to go tell a lie, we never refer to the lie as a lie. We refer to it as a narrative. But remember Newsweek magazine when they had on the front page and they had Bill Clinton and they had the Democrats saying Bill Clinton is not only a good liar, Bill Clinton is a great liar, and Bill Clinton is our liar. They were bragging about how Bill Clinton was one of the best liars there were, but he belonged to the Democratic Party. And today, there are those that are trying to take that from Clinton, like Adam Schiff, pencil neck. He's trying to get the reputation as being the best liar in the Democratic Party today. Unreal. I mean, to actually want that position to say, yes, I am the best liar in the Democratic Party, it's amazing, isn't it?
Well, Bill Clinton, he gave this aura of being likable. You know, and he was called Bubba. He wasn't a stuffed suit sitting behind the White House. He was kind of I'm not saying I liked him, but to the general masses, he was a likable guy. So his lies were, they were likable because he was a likable guy.
The people, his bodyguards that worked around him, that were with him, for years, Larry Patterson and people that worked with him, like Larry Nichols, and that all of those that were, around him continuously used to tell me, because when they got saved, they left. But that's exactly what they would say, is that Clinton, I mean, he could look at you and he could tell the biggest lie. He would compliment you, and they used to tell me, Roger Perry and Larry Patterson, how they would be someplace and Clinton would be speaking, and some woman would come up to him and tell her story, saying this is what happened to her, and she was not treated very well when he was the governor, and he would say, take care of that, and he would, and with her listening, and then when she's gone, Patterson would say, do you really want us to do this? No, of course not, That's just the way it was. And Slick used to always say, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? That was one of his favorite statements. And all of the people around him referred to him as Slick, not the governor, but right. Slick.
Right. Now compare him to Hillary. They were the complete opposite.
Wow, we got another match. Jane in New Jersey, this is not Jane in New Jersey. Jane matched me for 1,500, but now Jane in New Jersey matches me for 1,500. Thank you, Jane. God bless all the folks tonight. They've been so good to us tonight. We really needed it. I mean, we really needed it because, we were in danger of having to make some changes, John. So, but I praise the good Lord. John, no refugees in Jordan. No refugees in Egypt. King Abdullah pushes back on Jordan, taking Palestinian refugees. Back, going all the way back to 1947, nobody wanted, when you had all of these wars, none of the Arab nations wanted to take in the Palestinian refugees, did they?
Well, after the war, no, Pastor Ernie. What happened was, leading up to the war, when it broke out, King Abdullah, the original one from Jordan, he told the Palestinians to get out of Israel and that we're going to drive the Jews into the sea and then you'll have the land. So the ones that did follow him, they're refugees to this day. They're in Syria. They're in Jordan. A lot are in Lebanon. So what happened was, after the war, there in 48, they would not take any of the Palestinians that remained on the land after the war. They wouldn't take them. So that's how it came down, Pastorini. But they told the Palestinians, get out of the way. We're coming in with our army. We're going to kill all the Jews, and then we'll give you your land back.
Okay, so who was it that gave them a place to stay, a land, a place to live?
Well, the Jews, the Palestinians that stayed there, Israel became their country.
All right, so now here, we keep hearing that Israel, invaded the land, the nation of Palestine. Has there ever been a nation of Palestine? Because I've been reading all through the Bible, and I've seen...
Never, Pastor Ernie. Neither was Jerusalem ever the capital of a Arab nation. Never.
Isn't it strange we never hear that out there today? It's just amazing the days we're living in, huh? Anyhow, do you know what? Nikki Haley argues to bring 1 million Hamas supporters, Hamas-supporting Palestinians, to the U.S. from Gaza, where 68% of the population supports Hamas. There you go. Handyman Dan in California pledges 60. Thank you, Handyman Dan. And so, anyhow, we have... You know what happened last night? Pastor Hal was supposed to give the invitation last night, and I hate to say it, but he fell asleep. And so,
well, I'm not falling asleep, Pastor Ernie, but you're going to have to give the invitation tonight, okay?
Well, no, we're going to give Hal a chance to redeem himself.
Oh, okay.
Because right now, he's sitting in the pancake house there with a pile of pancakes. And so we're going to give him a chance to redeem himself. He's going to be calling in here. I think the Waffle House is where he's at. And in fact, he's got, I hate to say it, a nickname now called Waffle Hal. And so anyhow, so Pastor Hal, if you have not fallen asleep again, it's time to call in and be on standby. So, anyhow, exclusive op-ed by the January 6th shaman, Jacob Chansley, was a deep state psyop, and I can prove it. Remember the exclusive article penned by the shaman himself. Well, it seems like the shaman was working, well, and let me just read this because a lot of people don't know what a psyop is. The Operation Mockingbird Media dubbed me the Conan Shaman, and I have unraveled the tangled web of the deceit that is January 6th narrative. In short, January 6th was a deep state orchestrated event used to roll out psychological Operation Psyop designed to target Trump and label his supporters as domestic terrorists. That's exactly what they did, didn't they? They labeled us as domestic terrorists. In this article, I will delineate in detail, and I will believe that this is true and how you can explain to it to others. To start, we must understand what a PSYOP is and how they are used to influence public opinion. A PSYOP is a governmental-created propaganda campaign designed to influence the psyche of an individual and the masses to influence the collective mind of a group or a nation, and most easily done through using words and images which trigger instinctual responses in the subconscious mind. It creates an emotional response from the individual and the public that can be weaponized against the enemy of the government performing the PSYOP, or it can be used to rally people toward a specific government cause or goal. PSYOPs are centered around the weaponization of information and the strategic use of said weaponization and disinformation. Weaponization information done by combining information, combining the actual truth with disinformation lies to create a misinformation, and this is to create a misinformation narrative that is controlled by the government propaganda machine. Moreover, Obama passed the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act in 2012 that repealed the 1948 Smith-Mundt Act. The Act of 2012 allowed the State Department to engage in propaganda campaigns on American soil to influence public opinion. In other words, this 2012 Act enabled the U.S. government to legally perpetrate psyops on the American people to strategically influence public opinion. Good examples for how this was strategically used would be the Russia, Russia, Russia hoax during the 2016 election, the intentional suppression of Hunter Biden laptop of 51 intelligence agencies during the 2020 election, and of course the J6 narrative as well. PSYOPs are based on a strategy of infiltration, intelligence gathering, and the strategic use or suppression of said intelligence to craft a misinformation narrative that is controlled by the deep state to reach their goals. That's exactly 100% right, isn't it?
Absolutely, Dustin Ernie.
All right, folks, 888-281-1110. We have about 18 minutes left tonight. We'll be here till midnight. 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. I want to thank all of you that have helped us, boy, because I was trying to tell you, we really did need it. It's been tough. And I want to thank all of you, because here where you're sharing this, we don't take money for doing this. We work, and we work very, very hard. And the whole purpose is because the cause is a righteous cause. The cause is a righteous cause. We want to bring you what the enemy, and they are the enemy. What is called the mainstream media out there is the enemy of freedom, okay? And we want to bring you an end run around them, what they do, what they are supposed to keep from you. So help us by doing, by giving us and pledging with us and supporting us at 888-281-1110, 888-677-9673. In 50 years, John, we have never compromised, not one time, have we?
Best Ernie, not once since I've been with you, so I'm assuming all those years before is the same.
From day one, that was our strategy, no compromise, period. That's why we didn't have sponsors. We could have sponsors, but we knew that they would go after our sponsors. In fact, they would actually call trying to find out if we had any sponsors, you know, under the scenes and that. But MoveOn.org, you know how they tried so hard to get us off the air so many times. But by God's grace, we're still here. God kept us here. And so, again, it's 888-677-9673. The phone lines are starting to light up. That is good. 888-281-1110. And the fact that the pastors are starting to stand up and be counted, oh, it's been so long. We've been waiting for this, for the pastors to stand up and get counted, to stand for righteous sake and lead their people, be bold. And I'm going to be preaching, Lord's willing, this Sunday, John. Bring Pastor Hal up, if you could. Bring Pastor Hal up, too. Okay, Hal, are you there, Hal?
Right here.
All righty. I'm telling him I'm going to be preaching this coming Sunday on the unholy confederacy between the Communist Party here in America, and we've been telling people about the radical Islam, how they have joined and that unholy alliance they've made, and they have been working hand in hand, and we've been trying to expose that. We have been exposing it for many years, but that's what the message is, because I can tell you right now, the information that we have is they've got some very bad plans for Christians, for the body of Jesus Christ in the near future. They could be, we might see things, churches burning by early spring. And I can tell you this, Christopher Wray and the FBI is not going to be on our side. Joe Obama Biden you know, hates Christians. I mean, that's the reality of it. In fact, he's allowing everybody to come in the board. The only people that he has said to hold up and not let in are known Christians. That's unbelievable, but that's what's happening today. Everybody can come in, but keep the Christians out. So that's what's happening out there. And as long as we have any breath, we're going to tell you about it. Meanwhile, Hal, do you want to hit and do you want to give? How much time do I have, Josh? Okay, Hal, you got 6 minutes to go for it. Give that and tell folks how they can avoid hell and how they can make it to heaven.
Sure. You know, Genesis 12:3, God said that to Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, he said, "I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee." That puts all Islam under a curse of God because all they do is curse Israel. And Israel is still God's chosen people. It was Israel that through whom God brought the oracles to God, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So God's still working with them. He's giving them every day what they need for their repentance to get them to see that Jesus Christ is their Messiah and to turn to him. But he never gave anybody permission to whip Israel for not rejecting, for not receiving him. And that's his job. Our job is to pray for them, try and get them saved, and so on and so forth. We're not supposed to be out there attacking them. Hamas is in a bad way, and they don't even realize that all the people that attack Israel and everything, they're going to have to answer to God for it. And God, then they're also going to have to answer to God for what they do to Christians and everything they do as far as rejecting Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're rejecting Jesus Christ themselves, the Arabs and the Muslims and everything, and they're going to have to, you know, end up going to hell, lost and everything else like that because they do that. But the thing is, you could die tonight, and you don't want to go to hell. You don't want to have to suffer that. And Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, paying the payment on that cross for every sin that had to be paid. You see, God's a God of perfect righteousness. He cannot let sin go unpunished, even though he's a God of love. He cannot, his righteous nature cannot let sin go unpunished. So what he did, he allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to pay the penalty, that righteous payment that had to be paid. He paid it in your place for every stinking, lousy, miserable sin or amount of sins you and I have ever done in our lives. But that payment don't become ours automatically. John 1:12 said, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And that blood is applied when you go to God in sincere repentance and admit to God without Jesus in our hearts, we're a bunch of dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinners on our road to hell. God don't want you to go to hell, but he's offering you as a free gift that payment Jesus paid for you on the cross. And right before Jesus died, he said three words, "It is finished," which means all the work necessary for your salvation has been done by him. But John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." You have to receive that payment. And Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's the gift of God. It's the greatest gift you could ever receive, but you got to come to him with a repentant heart and admit your guilt, your sin, and everything else like that to God and ask God to come into your heart. And when I say God, I mean the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into your heart and receive you as, and receive him as yourself, your salvation payment. And listen, Revelation 3:20 said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." That means right now while I'm talking to you, all out there, Jesus Christ is knocking at the door of your heart, and he's asking you if you will receive the payment he paid in your place on that cross. There's no other way to get to heaven. And if you'll do that, you can do it right now in simple prayer of faith. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That means if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul, and you call upon him, you ask him to come into your heart and give to you that payment, trust in him and him only for your salvation, and being sorry about the fact you're a sinner and your sins put him on that cross, then let's pray that prayer together right now. And even though we're praying together, it's directly between you and God, because only you can receive the payment Jesus paid for you on that cross. If you want to receive it, my job as a Christian is to take you to Jesus and introduce you to him and have him come into your heart. So let's do that right now. Oh, dear God, please forgive me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on that cross and shed your blood for my salvation. And I hear right now, right here and now, Lord Jesus, ask you to come into my heart. Give to me the payments you paid for me on that cross. Give me eternal life. Save my soul and give me a home in heaven. In Jesus' name, I'm trusting you and you only for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, if you pray that prayer in 1 John 5:13, he says, "For these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Not that you may think it, wish it, or hope for it, but that you may know." That means you received him as your Savior, which you just did in prayer. Know that you have, that's the present tense verb. That means you have it right now. You don't have to wait to someday to get eternal life. God gave it to you the moment you sincerely opened up your heart to Jesus Christ and that you may believe on his name. Now, how can you know? Because God said so, and God cannot lie. So praise God. Go ahead, Pastor.
All right. Very, very good. Well, thank you for that. Again, can you ever do anything that will matter as much to you as look, how many people do you know that's going to die?
Everybody.
Everybody's going to die. I mean, that's a fact, right? What if you have these people that think, well, they're going to trans live, they're going to trans over into becoming a robot? So, I mean, you've got, in this day and age, the absolute craziest mindsets. But God's Word, the Bible, has a 6,000 years of what percentage of accuracy?
100%.
100%. Okay. Everyone out there, folks, you're going to die. That's a fact. That'll happen whether you like it or not. And when that happens, people are eternal people. We don't go out of existence. We change shape. We change real estate. And you are going to go. God said it. See, God said it. God who cannot lie, that you'll end up in heaven or hell. This is why it is so important that you listen to what the Lord Jesus said and make it very clear. He took your place. He did the heavy lifting for you, but you got to claim it. And how do you do that? Well, you admit that you're a sinner. And you ask, you pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness of those sins. And if you do that, if you mean it, then you ask the Lord Jesus to be Lord of your life, all of your life. Then you will be a new creature, a born-again believer. You've got God's word on it. You'll be on your way to eternal life.
Amen.
And dwelt with the Holy Spirit. All right, Tom in Illinois pledged 200. Marlene in Michigan, 50. Donna in New Jersey, 200. Anon in 250, Patricia in New Jersey 100, Albert in Pennsylvania 50, and Dana in New York 200. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, praise the good Lord. We're coming up to the end of it here. I lost track on how much time we have left. I know we're coming up. Give me a sign. All righty. All right, I want to thank you. Hal, you know, it's been a tough week here, but I want to praise the good Lord. I want to thank all of those folks out there that supported us all week long. We couldn't do it without you, and I can tell you this. We've got no intentions of giving you out there, and especially the good Lord, anything less than our very best. As long as we're here, until he takes us home, we're going to give the very best because that's what he made us for, right? God's got expectations of us. We've got obligations to him. That's the way it works. And we want to hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So, okay, we are now where we come to every night at this time. We're at 20 seconds after we say good night. Okay, and after we say good night, we always say God bless. Do we mean God bless? We do mean God bless you out there with salvation. And then we say what? Always
keep fighting
the fight.
About our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Cable news, noisy, boring. out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know. Streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime on any screen at snc.tv and local now channel 525.